Father, bless your name and thank you for your holy word. Open it up to our hearts. May we see the glory of you and what you've done to draw us to you. Bless your name. We give praise to you. We love you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I want you to think of something I want you to think of, we'll call it the worst sin you've ever done. Just think what that might be in your life. Don't answer out loud. This isn't I'm not asking you to tell everybody else. But you know, God knows, what is the worst? So just take a moment and think about that. Okay, now, same kind of question. Don't answer out loud. Now I want you to think of some sin you've done this week. And I'm making a guess that's probably not the same thing. If it is, maybe me, I don't know, but I'm guessing it's probably not. But take a moment and think what that is. Okay, now, hold on to those thoughts. We're going to put them in the backdrop right now, and we're going to come back to them. We're in Acts chapter 2. Peter has been preaching to the crowds in Jerusalem, and Peter has said, God has now begun to pour out his Spirit on all people. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God sent Jesus. You crucified him. But God raised him from the dead and exalted him to the right hand of God the Father. And we are witnesses of this. This is all stuff that he said in his sermon. He then concludes his sermon in verse 36. And he says, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." So he's saying, you just crucified your Lord and your Messiah. Okay, verses 37 to 41. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. So this is what I just read is the response of the people to Peter's sermon. It cuts to the heart. That's what verse 37 says. And they say, what shall we do? It's a good question. See, many of the people who were in that audience were involved in the crucifixion of Jesus just a month and a half ago, in the same city. And many of those people that Peter's preaching to were probably in the crowds who were shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him," when the crowds were shouting. That was a Jerusalem crowd. This is a Jerusalem crowd. And now Peter is saying, the man that you murdered is your Lord and your Messiah and your Savior and your Deliverer and your King. He's saying this to them in this sermon. And he has risen from the dead. You crucified him, but he ain't dead. He's risen. And he sits at the right hand of God Almighty. And he has all power. This is what Peter is saying to these guys. Now, if that is true, if what Peter is saying is true, and if I had had any role in crucifying him, oh my. Oh my. I'm in big trouble. What am I to do? That's how I'd be thinking. And that's what they're thinking. Because that's what they said, that's what they ask him. What shall we do? They're realizing that what they did was evil. And Peter says, what? What does he say? You tell me what Peter says. It's in verse 38.
Repent and be baptized.
Repent and be baptized.
Mm-hmm. His command.
In whose name?
Mm-hmm. Jesus.
In the name of Jesus Christ. That's what he says. Okay, that answer is the gospel. That's the good news of Christianity. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about Peter's answer to them. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, he says. Peter is offering them forgiveness. Now, tell me what they had done.
They killed God.
Yeah.
They rejected God in the most absolute way you could possibly do it.
That's right. These people have just crucified God in the flesh. Some of them were involved in the crucifixion of Jesus. But now these people are offered forgiveness in the name of, that's the guy they crucified. They're offered forgiveness in the name of the man that they just crucified 2 months ago, less than 2 months ago. They murdered Jesus. And Jesus is where their forgiveness comes from. Say, what's that?
It has to be, because it's the major leap. That's where the relationship is broken.
Yes. You're right. And so, Peter here is quite serious in saying you can have forgiveness. He's very serious about it. Okay, this is Christianity. This is Jesus. This is who he is, how he works. This is the grace of God. Forgiveness is available even for people who crucify the Messiah. It's available then for you and me. I had asked you to think of the worst sin you've ever done. Whatever it was, I'm going to make a guess. It wasn't as bad as crucifying the Son of God. Whatever that sin was in your mind. Okay, there's forgiveness for you. You got to get worse than crucifying Jesus to not get forgiveness. God forgives freely. Yet we sang earlier, Amazing Grace. That was written by John Newton. John Newton was a slave trader who met Jesus. He repented. He was baptized in the name of, you know, Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. He received the Holy gift, Holy Spirit. And he was forgiven. God forgave slave trading in that man. He forgave crucifying Jesus in the crowds here. So, if God forgives those things, you suppose there's hope for you? Will he forgive you? Of course he will. The worst sins you've ever done, whatever they happen to be, he'll forgive them. And those sins you did this week, he'll forgive them. He's a merciful God. All of those sins are all cleansed through the blood of Christ. You are clean in Christ. That means your greed, your lust, your anger, your pride, your worry, and more are all forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. They're gone. Guys, your sins are gone in Jesus Christ. Sometimes we don't see the wonder of that. We just sort of take it for granted that my sins are forgiven without really realizing what a marvelous thing that was. Sometimes in order for us to see what a marvelous thing it is for God to forgive us, requires for us to have to forgive someone else. And then we see how hard it is. And this is a wonderful thing. You know, before I was a Christian, I had rejected Christ. And my rejection of Jesus Christ was forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. And I can stand before God only in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm forgiven. And so are you in Christ. But there's more in verse 38. See, I've also in Christ received the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's also in verse 38. Repent and be baptized, all of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so I have that gift, and you do too. You have the Holy Spirit if you are in Christ. God is offering his people forgiveness and the Holy Spirit. Those are the two consequences of repenting and being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That would be cleansing from sin and a new life. The Holy Spirit is God's Spirit. And in the Holy Spirit, God comes and lives inside you. Think about that. God says, I'm going to come live inside Leah. Or I want to live inside Mehran. Or Mike. Or Leanne. Or whoever. But for God to come live inside you, you must be clean. Because he is not going to live in a dirty home. We'll put it that way. God's very particular about the home he lives in. He wants a clean home. In forgiveness, what happens is you become clean. That's one of the things Peter says you get. You repent, you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you get forgiveness. That's cleansing. With the Holy Spirit, Now God comes and lives inside. He's cleaned you out, and now he comes and dwells inside you. Now, this doesn't, by the way, this in no way means you're God, guys. Don't go thinking that way. You're not. You're just a tent that God lives inside. You're a temple. That's how Paul puts it. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, he says. And God comes and lives inside his temple. But what a privilege to be such a tent. I mean, I want to be that kind of tent. I want to be a tent where God's doing the camping. And he's living in me. It's an honor. Now, Peter is saying that people who less than 2 months ago helped crucify Jesus, he's saying that these people can now have the honor of having God dwell inside them. That's what he's saying. You crucified Jesus. Well, repent and be baptized. God will come live in you. You start thinking, this is Christianity. You start thinking about it from a worldly perspective. This is nuts. This is crazy. But it's true. Praise the Lord. It's true. Christianity, you know, as Christians, we don't believe the things we believe because they're normal according to the way everybody else thinks. We believe the things we believe because they're true. That is the good news of Christianity. Through the crucifixion of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus, your sins are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you can now have the Holy Spirit come live inside you. Now, who is this good news for? Verse 39 tells you. He says, for the promise, that's what he just got done saying, you know, repent and be baptized and you'll get forgiveness and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That promise, verse 39, the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Who's this promise for? It's for everyone. It's for you guys here. You know, we were not there when Peter preached this sermon 2,000 years ago, but the promise is for us just as much as it was for the people who were in Peter's audience, because he says for everyone who are far off. And so the idea is it's for everyone. That idea is something he's been talking about in this sermon. Look at verse 21. That's when he's quoting the prophet Joel about the Holy Spirit. And he says, it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Here, he's saying this promise is for everyone who is far off. Go to verse 40. He says, save yourselves from this crooked generation. And those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. That's an amazing thing. Now, forgiveness, the promise of the Holy Spirit, and salvation, they all go together. They're all part of the same package. They're you can't really separate them. And even people who crucified Jesus can have these blessings from God. Forgiveness, salvation, the Holy Spirit. You could crucify Jesus, and if you repent, you can have those blessings. But not everyone participates. Because how do you get these gifts? What does he say? How do you get them? How do you get forgiveness? How do you get the Holy Spirit? How do you get salvation? Repent. That's right. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. So they're asking, what shall we do? Verse 37. And he tells them what they shall do. Verse 38. Repent and be baptized. That's how you get forgiveness in the Holy Spirit. That's how you get cleansing and a new life. Now, repent simply means turn around. That's what repent means. Live your life in the other direction. When it's used in this context, you know, a spiritual context, basically it means leave your old life and follow God. Turn around and start following God instead of following the way you used to live. And this is the case of these people. You can see the big, you know, contrast. Not too long ago, these people were crucifying Jesus. At least some of them were. Not everyone in the crowd, by the way, was probably involved in the crucifixion of Jesus. A big crowd. But there are people there who were doing that. But not long ago, that's what some of these people were doing. They're crucifying Jesus. Now he's saying, turn around and be baptized in the name of the guy you crucified. That's a pretty serious turnaround. You crucified him, and now you're going to be baptized in his name. You once opposed Jesus. Turn around and acknowledge him. Thank him for his kindness to you. You know, everybody in Christ has a story of turning around. Really, that's your story. We call it a testimony, you know. There is before you knew Jesus and you lived the life and this is what you did, but something happened and there's a story there and you turned around and now you follow Jesus. And there's a story to that. I once ignored Jesus. I had to turn around and ultimately praise him. Some people were once addicted to pornography. They had to turn around and acknowledge Jesus. Some were captured just by making money, and that was their life. Let's get ahead in life. They had to turn around and say, this isn't the way I want to live my life. I want to live my life following Jesus, not following money. I had to turn around. I was going in the wrong direction. I'm going to follow Jesus and go in the right direction. That's what this is talking about. That's what repentance is. Now, repentance looks different for different people because different people have different lives, and we're all turning around from something different in many ways. The details are different. But it involves the same thing for everyone. If the details might be different, the general idea of repentance is the same. And so everyone has to turn around from the old life they were living without Jesus. And everyone has to acknowledge that Jesus is their Lord and Christ, that Jesus is their King and Savior. And those people who repent, you turn around, have forgiveness. And those people who don't repent don't have forgiveness. That's the way it works. So forgiveness and the Holy Spirit do not come to everybody. They're offered to everybody. But not everybody actually accepts them. And unfortunately, most people don't repent. They continue living the life that they want to live instead of turning around and living the life that Jesus wants them to live. Now, repentance here is paired with baptism. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you'll receive forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repentance is an inward act that spills over into how you live your life. You change your heart. When you change your heart, you change your life. Your life follows your heart. And so repentance begins inside, but it involves your whole life. Baptism is an outward ritual that portrays what repentance does. That's what baptism is. Repentance is a change in how you view Jesus and what you do as a result of your how you view Jesus. Baptism in the name of Jesus represents that repentance. And so repentance and baptism go together. One's on the inside, one's on the outside, so to speak, if you want to think of it that way. Although repentance spills over to the outside too. And baptism flows from something inside. And so baptism is an outward response to repentance. And so repentance is what ultimately brings forgiveness in the Holy Spirit. And the baptism just accompanies it. It comes, it's like a package deal. It comes together with it. Repentance comes by faith. Without faith in Jesus, you will not turn around. You actually have to believe to turn around. If you don't have faith, you're going to keep walking the way you walk. Baptism also comes by faith. Without faith in Jesus, you will not get baptized. And it is the heart response of faith and repentance that bring salvation. That's what brings salvation. And so baptism does not save you. It just comes with salvation. Here's why. In baptism, I told you baptism is a picture. In baptism, you go down under the water and you come up out of the water. Think of what that's a picture of. That's a picture of cleansing. That's the cleansing you receive through the forgiveness of sins that Peter's been talking about. Baptism portrays that cleansing. It's saying, I'm clean. But you're baptized in the name of Jesus. And so when you're baptized in the name of Jesus, what happens is you come up saying, I'm clean in the name of Jesus. Because baptism is in the name of Jesus. And so it's a picture of the cleansing that you get in the forgiveness of sins. Your sins are washed away and they're left down there in the water in baptism. But baptism is also a picture of a new life. And that new life is the new life that the Holy Spirit brings. You know, Peter said, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so in baptism, you go down under the water, and the old you is buried under the water. And you come up out of the water, and a new you rises up out of the water to live a new life. That's the picture that baptism gives everybody. And so baptism is not what actually accomplishes the cleansing, and it's not what accomplishes the new life. It's just a living picture of all of those things. That's what baptism is. Baptism is a picture of what repentance and faith do. Repentance and faith bring cleansing and a new life. And baptism portrays all of that with a living picture. And so it pictures cleansing of sin and a new life in Christ. It is a public testimony that you belong to Jesus, because it is done in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And so it's Peter's message to the people who are cut to the heart is this: repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for everyone whom the Lord calls to himself. That's his message: repent and be baptized. It's really a pretty simple message. So that day, verse 41, about 3,000 people repented and were baptized and were added to the church that very day. I mean, the church went from about 120 to more than 3,000 in just a few hours from this sermon that Peter preaches. Now, for the message of forgiveness and salvation to apply, you actually have to receive it. That's the language verse 41 says. So those who received his word were baptized. You have to receive it. For those of you who received that message, I want you to thank God for what he did, for the forgiveness and for the salvation and for the new life in the Spirit that you have in Jesus Christ. You need to thank him for it, because it's a marvelous thing. You are clean. Rest in that fact. His Spirit dwells in you. Enjoy him. God is dwelling inside you. You know, it's like you're the house and he's inside the house. Well, enjoy him. He's living in you. Forgiveness is yours. Thank him. And don't go beating yourself over the head with your sins. They're gone. We Christians sometimes need to get this straight. Your sins are gone in Christ. And we need to, you know, he may bring conviction. I'm not opposing conviction. But when conviction comes, you confess it and it's gone. I am opposing beating yourself over the head with guilt. That's not scriptural. And so, as believers, we need to remember this. Now, for people who are not believers, they don't know. They need this. And you guys know such people. Everybody does. You've got family members and friends and coworkers and neighbors and you know, all sorts of people you know in your world who don't know Christ. They have not turned around. That's what repentance is. And that's what they need. They need to turn around. They need to stop living the life that they're living in the direction that they're going with their life and turn around from their sin and follow him. And he will forgive them completely. And they need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And so if you haven't done that, that's what needs to happen. So, Jesus wants you and me and everyone far off even, to confess our sin, to come to Him, to turn around, to be cleansed, so that God may dwell in us fully. And He wants us to enjoy Him when He comes and when we come to Him. Let me pray. Father, I praise You for what You have done in and through Jesus Christ. And I praise You for the simplicity of the good news of salvation for all in Jesus Christ. And I pray for my brothers and sisters here that we would be a people who never stop marveling in what You have done through the cross and resurrection of Christ. Hallelujah. Bless Your name. And I pray that You make us a people who willingly, eagerly take this message to the people that we know who don't know You but who need You. And may Your name be honored in our lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.